Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 1. And in your causing the land to fall in inheritance, ye lift up a heave offering to Jehovah, a holy portion of the land. The length, 25,000 is the length, and the breadth, 10,000. It is holy in all its border, round about. In this vision that the Lord gave Ezekiel, he is teaching Ezekiel what his second temple should look like. In history, they did not make the second temple as big as the Lord told them to make it in this vision. This is near the end of the vision when the Lord is telling Ezekiel how much land he also wants set aside strictly for his purposes. It should be 25,000 cubits in length and breadth. So it's a square plot of land. 2. There is of this for the sanctuary 500 square roundabout, and 50 cubits of suburb is to it roundabout. The sanctuary is going to be 500 by 500 cubits. A cubit is approximately a foot and a half. It's a little over a tenth of a mile. That's how much land the Lord wants for his sanctuary. And the sanctuary includes the Holy of Holies. 3. And by this measure thou dost measure. The length is 25,000, and the breadth 10,000. And in it is the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. 4. The holy portion of the land it is for priests, ministrants of the sanctuary. It is who are drawing near to serve Jehovah, and it hath been to them a place for houses and a holy place for a sanctuary. 5. And of the 25,000 of length, and of the 10,000 of breadth, there is to the Levites, ministrants of the house, for them for a possession, 20 chambers. 6. And of the possession of the city ye give 5,000 of breadth, and of the length 25,000 over against the heave offering of the holy portion, to all the house of Israel it is. The Lord is telling Ezekiel to tell the people that when they build the second temple, he wants a huge plot of land around that temple, and all of the land will be considered holy. In the center of the land is a space that's 500 cubits by 500 cubits. That's less than a mile. And that is the square area where the temple is, which includes the inner court, the outer court, the sanctuary, and the Holy of Holies, as well as that warehouse area. Around that is going to be a section that's 10,000 cubits on the short side and 25,000 cubits on the long side, and that portion will be for the priests to have 20 chambers. This is a plot of land that includes the temple complex where all the priests can live, so that they can live really close to the temple and they don't have to travel far to go to work. And then north of that is the Levites' portion. And the Levites also serve in the temple, but they don't serve as priests. They do the lesser duties. So just north of the priests' section is the Levites' section to live in, and it has the same dimensions. It's 10,000 cubits by 25,000 cubits, so it's a rectangle shape. Now, all of these rectangles going from north to south make a perfect square. On the south side of the priests' area where they can live is a place that's just for Israel in general. I think the Lord will explain more about this section later, but in the center of it, it has a place and it is a city. And then on either side of it, there are other sections. This one is only 5,000 cubits long and it's still 25,000 cubits wide. It's half the area that the priests have and half the area that the Levites have to live in. When you put all of these rectangles together, you get one huge square that is 25,000 cubits by 25,000 cubits. 25,000 cubits is about 10 miles. this is not how they made the second temple. They didn't have the faith to do what the Lord had asked them to do when they built the second temple. 7. As to the prince on this side and on that side of the heave offering of the holy place and of the possession of the city at the front of the heave offering of the holy place and at the front of the possession of the city, from the west corner westward and from the east corner eastward, and the length is over against one of the portions of the west border unto the east border. I believe that's talking about that front section that is called a city to the Lord, and on either side of it is an area of land that is for the heave offering. The heave offering is the part of an offering that's given to the priest to eat. He lifts it up to the Lord and thanks the Lord for it. And that's why it's called a heave offering, is because he heaves it or lifts it up toward heaven before he receives it to himself. So in this area, the Levites are going to be receiving that heave offering portion that they are going to eat. 8. Of the land there is to him for a possession in Israel, and my princes do not oppress any more my people and the land they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. There was a prince for every tribe, and there were also some princes under the main prince of every tribe. When the land was originally allotted to the different tribes, the princes took advantage of their position and took more land than they were supposed to. And the Lord says he wants the land distributed as he says, with nobody taking advantage of somebody else because of their position. 9. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, enough to you, princes of Israel, violence and spoil turn aside, and judgment and righteousness do. Lift up your exactions from off my people, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah. These princes were basically charging their own people a tax so that they could get richer, and they were robbing and violently taking land and property away from those in their tribe or in their clan. And he says, you've been given enough. You can't take from those other people in your tribe. Judgment in the Bible is most often used in regard to making decisions that benefit the poor and right wrongs that have been done against them. Sometimes judgment is also used as God's wrath against those who do not repent. But when he tells us to use judgment, what he means is take care of the weak and the helpless. 10. Just balances and a just ephah and a just bath ye have. A bath is a measurement for measuring liquids that would be sold like oil, and an ephah is a measurement for measuring non-liquids such as flour. The balances is how you would measure gold and silver and other metals. The Lord says you don't have false scales. What the Israelites and a lot of other ancient people loved to do was have a false scale when they're selling an item and use a correct scale when they're buying an item so that they never get ripped off, but they rip other people off. And the Lord says that this is evil. 11. The ephah and the bath is of one measurement, for the bath to bear a tenth of the homer, and the ephah a tenth of the homer. According to the homer is its measurement. The Lord says that you all have to have a universal measurement. You can't have one person using a different kind of measurement and claiming that that's fair. All the Israelites have to measure volume and quantity according to the homer, which is a type of measurement. 12. And the shekel is 20 gerah, 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, 15 shekels is your manna. The Lord is explaining to them how cash is to be considered. He says 20 gerahs make a shekel. And I'm not sure if he's saying 25 shekels is a manna or 15 shekels is a manna. This is archaic language, but in that time, the people would have known exactly what he meant. And he doesn't want people to use different types of coins and different types of denominations. He wants all of the Israelites to use the same type of coin and denomination so that they cannot take advantage of each other. 13. This is the heave offering that ye lift up, a sixth part of the ephah of a homer of wheat. Also ye have given a sixth part of the ephah of a homer of barley. He wants the wheat and the barley to be measured the same way, not in different ways. 14. And the portion of oil, the bath of oil, a tenth part of the bath out of the core, a homer of 10 baths, for 10 baths are a homer. And again, he's explaining how to measure volumes of liquid. He wants all of their measurements to be universal and fair. 15. And one lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the watered country of Israel, for a present, and for a burnt offering, and for peace offerings, to make atonement by them, an affirmation of the Lord Jehovah. Say you have 600 lamb, then you should be bringing 3 lambs for your burnt offering. And he says out of the watered country, meaning the lush country that has springs in it. The Lord is really fair because he realizes that some country is better than others. So he's saying if your lamb comes from the lush country, then you should bring me 1 per 200 in your flock for a burnt offering. 16. And the people of the land are at this heave offering for the prince of Israel. The people of the land will give this offering to the prince of Israel. And the prince of Israel represents Jesus Christ. 17. And on the prince are the burnt offerings, and the present, and the libation, in feasts, and in new moons, and in Sabbaths, in all appointed times of the house of Israel. He doth make the sin offering, and the present, and the burnt offering, and the peace offerings, to make atonement for the house of Israel. And the high priest will make offerings unto the Lord on behalf of the people during all of the festivals. And it says new moons, Sabbaths, and appointed times. Those are all of the holidays and feasts of Israel. Each of those feasts commemorates a blessing or a promise that the Lord has given the Israelites. And all of those feasts also represent part of the salvation story. For instance, the Passover feast represents that Jesus died on the cross to liberate us from our sins. 18. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, in the first month, in the first of the month, thou dost take a bullock, a son of the herd, a perfect one, and hast cleansed the sanctuary. Every month, on the first, the prince is to cleanse the sanctuary by giving an offering of a male cow. 19. And the priest hath taken of the blood of the sin offering, and hath put on the doorpost of the house, and on the four corners of the borders of the altar, and on the post of the gate of the inner court. The inner court circles the sanctuary, so blood from the offering has to go on that inner court gate. It also goes on the doorpost of the sanctuary itself, and also on the four corners of the altar. This is similar to when the death angel came and killed the firstborn in Egypt, but the Israelites were told to put blood on the doorpost in order to be saved, and none of their people died that night. Because the blood represents Jesus Christ, he saves us from spiritual death. 20. And so, thou dost do on the seventh of the month, because of each erring one, and because of the simple one, and ye have purified the house. An erring one is somebody who sins. So these are sin offerings. The blood from the sin offering is used to cleanse the sanctuary and the altar, the upper or inner court. In the Old Testament, the people needed constant cleansing because they were constantly sinning. But in the new covenant, which we have today, because Jesus did die on the cross, we don't have to live in a cycle of sin. We can have freedom and deliverance from a sinful lifestyle. That doesn't mean that we never sin, but we no longer have a sinful lifestyle. Because animals are innocent, their blood atoned for the sins of the people, but it didn't change their lives. The people still wanted to sin. It didn't change their hearts. But under the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ has way more authority than any animal blood ever had. Not only does it atone for our past sins, but it also cleanses our heart so that we no longer desire to sin. And we have grace from God to resist sin when we're tempted. Whenever the Bible calls somebody simple, that's an insult, and it means that that person doesn't consider seriously the commands of the Lord. 21. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, ye have the Passover, a feast of 7 days. Unleavened food is eaten. Now he's going to go over some of the regulations for the Passover feast. During the Passover, they have to eat unleavened bread, which means bread that does not rise, because the yeast represents sin, and they have to eradicate sin from their lives. 22. And the prince hath prepared on that day for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock, a sin offering. That offering is given on the day of the Passover. And the Passover represents the death of Jesus on the cross, because he is the lamb that was slain. But it also represents when the death angel came down in Egypt and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian family. Yet the Israelites lived because they had the blood of the lamb covering their doorposts. 23. And the 7 days of the feast he prepareth a burnt offering to Jehovah, 7 bullocks and 7 rams, perfect ones, daily 7 days, and a sin offering, a kid of the goats, daily. The 7 male cows, the 7 rams, and the 7 goats that are offered on each day of Passover will atone for the sins of all of the Israelites. And that's why so many animals are getting offered. It took a lot of animals to atone for the sin of the Israelites, because animals are innocent, and only innocent blood can atone for guilty blood. So only the innocent blood of animals could atone for the guilty humans. But when Christ came, his blood can atone for the sins of the entire world, and we don't need any other sacrifice. But we do have to repent of our sins and put all of our faith in him and follow him. However, his blood is more than sufficient to forgive our sins and transform our lives. Unlike the animals who had to be sacrificed en masse, because just one animal wasn't enough. And they had to be sacrificed over and over, because as soon as they atoned for past sin, the people would sin again. Their blood had no authority to transform people's lives. 24. And a present of an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, he doth prepare, and of oil a hin for an ephah. So along with the bull and the ram, there has to be 1 ephah measurement of fine flour and 1 hin measurement of oil that is added to each of these offerings. Flour and oil take a lot of preparation to produce, and it's showing the Lord that we trust him to meet our needs, because we're giving him precious food items that took a very long time to prepare. It shows him that we know that he's going to still provide for us even when we give to him. 25. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, in the feast, he doth according to these things 7 days, as the sin offering, so the burnt offering, and as the present, so also the oil. So on the 7th month is a different feast. The priest is also going to offer sin offerings and burnt offerings for that feast as well. This next feast that the Lord is talking about is around the Festival of Booths, and that is where the Israelites commemorate their journey through the desert with the Lord on their way to the Promised Land. But it also represents the Christian journey with the Lord on the way to heaven, because we're walking in a wilderness of life, and we have many trials and temptations that come before us, just as the Israelites faced trials and temptations in the desert. We do too. But we're looking forward also to tabernacling with the Lord in heaven forever. And this festival of booths also represents his people tabernacling with him in eternity. And tabernacling means living with. This booth represents our eternal life with Christ. And that concludes Ezekiel chapter 45. In the next chapter, the Lord is going to give Ezekiel even more instructions. These are the same instructions that were given to Moses in the book of Leviticus, but the Lord is sharing these instructions again because the people have forgotten the law that was given to Moses.